Today we are talking about everybody's favorite witch. That's right, your geek history lesson on Sabrina Spellman is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Witchy Woman Inman. Welcome to your Mind University because this
All right,
is
Stevie
Geek.
Nicks.
This is Geek History Lesson, the podcast where sometimes we talk and sing about characters and give you everything you need to know about them in less than an hour. And today we have a very witchy woman. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I can't do the guitar riff, but it's a great song, by the way. We're talking about who, Ashley?
Sabrina Spellman.
That's right. I am excited about this episode. I am going to admit my bias right now. I am not the biggest fan of Archie comics. I love the more recent Archie comics and the reboot that Archie has been doing with all their scary horror and the new Mark Waid series. I think some of the comics they're making over there are amazing. But classic Archie, I'm not a big fan of. But I did watch a bunch of stuff related to this character, which I will reveal in our next section.
Cool. Why don't we roll?
Was this requested by anybody?
This was not requested by anybody.
Why are we talking about Sabrina?
Because The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the Sabrina Netflix show, is coming on the air imminently. At the time of this recording, we have not seen it.
Nope.
So we will not be going into any territory or any real speculation.
There will be no spoilers for that Netflix show, in case you're watching that in the far, unless you're listening to us in the far future.
Yes. But I love Sabrina, and I have loved her for a very long time. I was super excited to teach this episode. We've been trying to work in the Archie characters for quite some time.
I think you've been trying to work this episode in for quite a while as well.
Maybe since the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting because I'm excited for the show to be able to teach this lesson.
I think the trailer looks great.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
So I'm sure we're going to get much more into that, but why don't we roll right into the first section of the podcast?
First section of the podcast is called the 10 cent origin, where it's the idea where if you paid a dime to me or Ashley, we'd give you a real quick Cliff Notes version of everything you need to know about this witch on Archie. And you can use these details to sound cool at parties when people are like, hey, you heard about this Netflix show called Sabrina?
Also, I want to say that I love it when people tweet us and let us know that they actually use these at cocktail parties. It makes me feel really good about myself.
I'm certain that we have led to many beautiful relationships at cocktail parties.
I hope
about
so.
Nerdy characters.
Please continue to let us know. So the 10 cent origin of Sabrina Spellman is that she is, of course, an Archie Comics character. I love Archie Comics, who was created by George Gladier and Dan DiCarlo. Dan DiCarlo, very famous classic Archie artist. Her first appearance was in Archie's Madhouse number 22 in October of 1962.
What a great title for a comic.
I think so. She was originally called Sabrina, that cute little witch.
Oh, really?
Yes. All right. And her stories featured an elementary school age Sabrina and her adventures as a character. She is half witch and half human, and that came to define so much of her character and her across all of her adventures that she's had.
She's a mudblood.
She is, very much so. That's also a retcon. Mm. We'll get into that.
Okay.
And was famously portrayed by Melissa Joan Hart and Kiernan Shipka in live action, and had previously been voiced by Jane Webb, Melissa Joan Hart, Emily Hart, Britt McPhillip, and Ashley Tisdale. Yes, she has had no less than 5 different animated incarnations. Sabrina is a wildly popular character who I think maybe up until the point of her live action series didn't get her due or wasn't recognized for how popular she truly was. She also came up around the same time as the Bewitched live action television show. Witches in popular culture were very famous in the 60s and 70s, also along with the song that Jason was singing at the time.
Witchy woman. Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
I'm hoping that you can work in more witch songs. I'm looking forward to Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
I know many witch songs.
Oh, well, get your phone open and we will be talking more about that. But before we move on, Jason is going to do us a great favor and tell us about this week's sponsors.
This week's episode is sponsored by Lisa, which of course is a quality mattress company. And they ask, do you find yourself distracted? Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself forgetting things? Mm-hmm. Making mistakes at work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ashley.
Yes.
A quality night's sleep makes all the difference. And that's all about the right mattress. And the right mattress can come to you from Lisa. Because a Lisa mattress is a product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing. I have a Lisa mattress. Lisa graciously sent me a Lisa mattress. And mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it is the best mattress I have ever had. I say that every time that Lisa becomes one of our sponsors, but I'm not lying. It literally is one of the best mattresses I've ever slept. It's the best mattress I've ever slept with in my life. And the great thing about it is that you don't even have to go to one of those stupid stores and lay down on mattresses and be like, oh, I think maybe this feels good, or what about this, or what if I turn on my side? No, they send it to your door. You get to try it out. You get to try it out risk-free for 100 nights. You don't have to go pick up the mattress, and it ships directly to your door in a cool, cool convenience box. So if this sounds interesting to you, if you want to try out a Lisa mattress, go to Lisa.com. That's LEESA.com. And you can find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/geekhistory. That's right, lisa.com/geekhistory. And fun fact, free shipping and free return. So there's nothing for you to lose except a good night's sleep. And we thank Lisa for sponsoring the episode.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, so now we're going to roll right into the meet cute, which is, of course, a term that we stole from romantic comedy writing, where we tell you the first time we meet a character and how cute it was. I'm going to go first because I am the Sabrina expert here, and I'm very, very excited to talk about it. I knew Sabrina from the Archie comics because, like I've said many times on this podcast, I got a bunch of the cool digests that they had at the grocery store that were reprints of the old adventures, and Sabrina is a big part of that. But when I was but a tiny human child, Sabrina the Teenage Witch TV show was announced, and I've always really loved witches. I was very excited about this. I don't know if they still have these things, but when I was a little kid, we had these things called book orders. And from my book order, before I had ever seen the show, I had the tie-in Sabrina prose book. I had a bunch of the Archie comics. I had the Sabrina Barbie doll. I had a stuffed Salem. I got the Sabrina CD soundtrack for my birthday.
You had a stuffed Salem?
I did have a stuffed Salem.
Was it a good toy?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if it was a branded Salem cat or if it was just a black cat that my parents gave me and told me it was Salem.
Okay.
It didn't particularly look like Salem. It looked like
a stuffed
cat. I'm
going to see if there's a Salem stuffed doll on eBay or something.
If there is, would you please buy it? I also watched the TV show. So I was all in from a pretty early age on this character. I went on to watch some of the animated series that aired in the mid to late aughts. Really enjoyed them. And I have read Sabrina comics pretty consistently since then, including Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is the one that the new series is mainly based on. So I've basically been all in my entire life on this character. She's cute and she has magic. What more could you want? Jason, what is your meet cute for Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Fun fact, there actually is a Salem the cat. And if you press his tummy, he talks, apparently.
I did not have that one.
And there's even a book. I just found a book that's called Salem's Tales.
Oh, I had that book.
Cat TV. And it's like, it has a picture of this black cat in front of a microphone.
I'm going to be honest, that book is not good.
It's called Cat Tales. I wonder why. So my introduction into Sabrina is the TV show as well. It's on TGIF. It was on Thank God It's Friday on ABC. That's where it existed. And it was part of that. I really enjoyed it. I remember my mom hating it. But I...
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's not an adult show, obviously.
That's fair.
It's a kid's show.
Yeah.
And I remember loving Salem the cat. Now, I don't know who voiced voice Salem in the
show. If you let me scroll
show.
Through my notes, I can tell you. I have it written down.
Oh, we can wait on it. Let's just wait on the episode.
But I do have his name later. He is primarily a voice actor.
Oh, sure. But he, like, his voice and Salem's jokes is mm-hmm. what brought me into the episode, into that series. If not for that, because I didn't really like Sabrina that much. I kind of thought she was kind of dumb.
Did you think she was cute?
She was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
we're not looking to shame Melissa Joan Hart. I was just curious if she was maybe a character you had a crush on.
No, look, Melissa Joan Hart is a fine actress.
Yes,
I think she is a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if when I was watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch, when I was also a young boy,
that's fine,
an early teenager, if because that show was on the air forever.
It was on. We'll get into that too.
So,
way longer than I thought it was.
I think it had like 6 or 7 seasons. It was on for quite a while.
Yes, it was.
I don't think if I was attracted to her back then, but like she's a beautiful woman. Like right now, I'll say that. And fun fact, she follows me on Twitter.
Ooh, maybe she'll listen to this lesson.
She follows me on Twitter. Maybe I should have direct messaged her to be a guest on this podcast. I didn't think about it. She's great. She's not a good actress, and she came from Nickelodeon before Sabrina. I know. But it was Salem. And then it was the other stuff of the, it was the magical world. Like I liked her aunts.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked her aunts. I thought they were very funny. And then like the other characters you would meet, I thought were very funny. So I was more intrigued by the world and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a generally funny show, which is why I watched it.
Cool.
So yeah, that's there you go.
Well, when we get to that section, please feel free to jump in and add, because I think you've watched more episodes than I have.
I mean, I've probably watched more Sabrina the Teenage Witch live action then I is probably good for any human being. So there you go.
I hope it comes. It's not streaming right now, which I think considering there's a new show is shocking.
You would think that Netflix would have bought the rights just to have it for people to watch for nostalgia's sake. But that makes me think that there must be a rights issue somewhere,
mm-hmm.
because it is such a cult classic that like it is mind-boggling that's not streaming somewhere.
It should be streaming somewhere.
But that tells me it's a rights issue with something.
Honestly, because I would have watched a bunch of episodes leading into this. The only place that you can get them legally is they don't even have a Blu-ray set, is the DVD set.
Oh, it's definitely it's a rights issue for something.
Yeah, though. And I don't know who it is. I didn't do any research to try and figure out who it is. If someone knows, please tweet us at GHL Podcast. All right, why don't we move right into History 101, which is the main meat of the lesson where I'm going to throw down everything you need to know about Sabrina.
Or you mean hex everything down that you need to know.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to hex it all down for you. So after
get some of that witch lingo in there.
Yeah, okay. I'll do my best to try and work in more of the colloquialisms. After her debut in Archie's Madhouse number 22, Sabrina was so popular.
I want to bring that title back. Archie, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you, but
no,
Archie's
please.
Madhouse, oh, such a good name.
Alex Segura can hire us at any
friend
time.
Of the podcast.
Yeah. We would love to reboot Archie's Madhouse for you. It was so popular that she became a breakout character at Archie Comics and was even given her own solo title, one of the first female characters to get a solo title. So George Gladeer, who was one of her co-creators in 2007, did an interview where he kind of reflected on her and he said, quote, "I think we both envisioned it as a one-shot, and we were surprised when fans asked for more. We continued to do Sabrina stories on and off in Madhouse until 1969, when we were flabbergasted to hear that it was going to be an animated TV series. When it came to naming Sabrina, I decided to name her after a woman I recalled from my junior high days, who was very active in school affairs, and who assigned a number of us to interview prominent people in the media. In addition, the woman's name had a New England ring to it. Some years later, I recalled that the woman's name was not Sabrina, but was actually Sabra Holbrook." So I thought that was really interesting.
Sabra is a good name for a witch, too.
Sabra is. It's a great name. Let's bring it back. I don't know if it ever went anywhere. I think it's the name of a hummus. She was a regular in the comic series Archie's TV Laugh Out. Yes, that is a comic book. And she appeared in 106 issues from 1969 until 1985. And her eponymous title spun out of this, with Sabrina the Teenage Witch number one debuting in 1971. So 9 years later, she got her own solo series. Batgirl could have taken a note from this, and ran 77 issues until 1983. Sabrina didn't get another solo series until 1997, right after the first television show launched. And that series ran 32 issues and ended in December 1999. The TV show went on for several more years. This series, the second solo series, was the first to incorporate a bunch of the changes that the show made into the comic book continuity. We'll get into these as we go along.
Oh, you're going to note some of the changes?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot. The TV show made so many changes, and most of what we now know and love about Sabrina is from the TV
show. It's because the TV show was huge. It was a big deal.
I guess so.
No,
I was like a child, so I had no idea.
You know, it was a big deal. A lot of people watched that show. I think because it was just, I'll tell you this. I think the reason why is because in the 90s, genre television
was huge.
No, was.
We had Star Trek.
No, no, no. Genre television was not around. Genre television didn't exist. The reason why Star Trek The Next Generation popped big, the reason why Quantum Leap popped big, the reason why Sabrina popped big is because our genre shows were so few and far between that when one of them showed up
And was good,
us nerds went nuts. We went nuts over it. That's the reason why. Because primetime television, you got to think about it. The only genre show that was on primetime television off the top of my head is Lois and Clark, Quantum Leap, Sabrina.
Well, I'm going to say this too about Sabrina. Sabrina and on network. Yes. Sabrina and Buffy coexisted at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think they captured a lot of the same audience. Also, both led by blonde girls.
Buffy, I forgot. Sorry, network television show. It's on the WB network.
Yes.
All that sounds
interesting.
Not a real network.
Not a real network.
Doesn't exist anymore. It failed.
That's true. Okay, so I told you a lot about publication. Let's jump into the fictional character biography, which is what everybody showed up for today. So Sabrina actually has a couple retcons, like any good comic book character. And her first origin, she's actually quite a bit like Wonder Woman in it. So, you know, Diana in her...
She lives on an island?
Yes. Diana in her original origin was molded from clay because her mom wanted a daughter. Sabrina was born out of a potion. So she has two witchy aunts, right? Jason, do you know the name of Sabrina's aunts? I just want to see if you remember.
Oh, God. I do know that. Zelda?
That's one of them.
And is it Hildy?
Hilda, yeah. Hildy.
Job. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't think you would remember. Yeah.
So it's Hilda and Zelda.
Hilda and Zelda Spellman.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. They are her paternal aunts.
You know what? I'm gonna admit something right here. It wasn't until this very second that I realized that their last name was a joke.
Oh, really?
Spellman.
Yeah, because they're witches.
Look, I don't know why.
It's okay.
Not until this very moment did that bing.
That's okay. I've had lots of those moments. So Hilda and Zelda made a potion incorrectly, and it turned into a tiny magical girl who filled out the childhood stories of Sabrina. I'm not kidding. That's what happened. These were originally told in the style of humor comic strips of the time, which meant that narratively they were all set up, punchline. If you've ever read a classy Archie comic from the reprinted collection, if you've ever read Peanuts, anything that you could have got at the grocery store, then you're familiar with the style of storytelling. They're very fun, but there's not a lot of narrative continuity. When they debuted, Hilda and Zelda looked very much like traditional witches. They had the long robes that were usually black, long noses, wild hair. When the show launched, Hilda and Zelda were portrayed by Caroline Ray and Beth Broderick as modern women. They were fashionable, they were intelligent, and they were cool. And ever since then, they have been modern women.
And we have to say that, what are the name of the actresses again?
Caroline Ray and Beth Broderick. Caroline Ray is the shorter of the two.
Yes, well, Caroline Ray was a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Those two women, because the other actress who played, she was a character actor. There were a lot of 90s television
shows.
Beth Broderick, they are great. They are so good, and they're part of the reason why that show works.
I was gonna say, I actually think, with all due respect to Melissa Joan Hart, they carried a lot of the weight of that show, and that also just comes with them being
more experienced
senior actors.
Yeah.
That's all.
They
were so funny. I remember what my mommy used to watch The View, and I remember,
my mommy.
And I remember Caroline Ray being on there talking about their characters and talking about how amazing she thought it was to play like a 1,000-year-old witch, and her being like, I want men to be afraid of me. I was 6 or 7, and that really stuck with me. And I was like, cool.
That's a very specific memory. I love it.
Yeah. It really struck me. So Sabrina didn't remain an accident forever, so don't worry. Like I said, when the 1996 television sitcom came around, it introduced a new origin for her that was adopted by the comic book continuity and informed spinoff series like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that started as a comic and is the basis for the Netflix show. This new origin is the only one I've ever known. It is the one that establishes Sabrina as a half-witch, which is kind of her defining characteristic. Her mother is a human or a mortal, and her father is a wizard. For a variety of different reasons, depending on which continuity you're experiencing in, Sabrina's parents are notably absent, and she is living with her paternal aunts, Hilda and Zelda, who are both witches. In the TV show, her father is just quote-unquote away for the better part of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
In Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, her father was forced to murder her mother, leaving the baby with his sisters, and he's being held prisoner in a tree. They live in a town called Greendale that was established in the show, and it is one of the, quote, next towns over, unquote, from Riverdale. So yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, the town or the next town over. So it's close to Archie and the gang, but not that close, so mm-hmm. they can cross over whenever they want to. But there is a good reason why Sabrina can't just show up and fix everything for them all the time. Because really, I don't think Archie in the main continuity ever learns that Sabrina's a witch. But considering how unlucky he is, he should have just hit her up for a luck potion. Because Archie needs all the help he can get. A black cat named Salem Saberhagen lives with the witches as their familiar. In the original comic, Salem is just a piece of set dressing. He doesn't speak. He's just there to fill out panels from time to time because we all know that black cats are a staple of witch mythos. The show actually introduces Salem as a speaking character voiced by Nick Baquet, a former witch who has been transformed into a cat as a punishment for attempting to take over the world.
Warlock. Excuse me, a warlock.
I will say the television show refers to male magical practitioners as wizards, warlocks, and witches.
Mm-hmm.
So men get all the titles. Women are just witches. So I'm not wrong.
Oh, no. But I remember specifically them mentioning Salem as a warlock.
Well, I said witch.
Sure.
It's all good.
But I remember specifically, like, because there are a lot of episodes in the TV show that deal with what turns Salem into a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And
Salem also kind of evil in the show.
No, actually, he's not really. In the Melissa Joan Hart one, he is kind of her moral compass.
Her Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
I guess I think of all the gifs of him where he's throwing his head back. The puppet is throwing its head back and laughing.
He's mischievous.
Maybe that's the word I'm looking for.
No, he's not evil, but he, like, if he can throw a pie in Sabrina's face, he'll do
right,
it.
He's maniacal. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not malicious.
Yes. I think that's.
Because there are several episodes where I think his parole hearing comes up.
Yeah. And he goes to the other realm to go to the council.
Yeah. And she becomes like a witness for him to, like, testify. I think that I want to say there is even an episode where you see his human body. Like, he gets turned back human for, like, an episode, and then he goes back to his cat.
Oh, that might be the case. I cannot confirm that.
I don't know either. I'm just saying off the top of my head, I think I remember.
Yeah. Listeners can let us know if we're right or wrong. In Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, it takes the narrative and makes Salem more of a traditional familiar for Sabrina. Excuse me. So he's the Jiminy Cricket who's responsible for guiding her and overseeing some of her witchy training and rites. And like I said, at the time of this recording, we've not seen the Netflix series, but on IMDb, no voice actor is credited for Netflix. So we don't know if he will be speaking there or not, although he does speak in the comics, so probably.
If they are smart, and I, you know,
50-50.
Well, if they're smart, he'll speak.
I agree.
If they're smart, they'll save it. Like, we won't see mm-hmm. it happen until, like, episode 5 or 6, and then it'll be a big surprise.
If they're smart, they'll hire the same voice actor.
Boom! That's what I was going to say. I was like, if they're smart, they would just give it back to Nick Baquet, because that would be one of those nice little, like, mm-hmm. oh, it's kind of like a Peter Cullen still voicing Optimus Prime for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Conroy's Batman.
I think that would be super cool.
Like, Nick Baquet is Salem.
And look, he works consistently, but it's not
is
like...
Is he still working?
He's still working.
Wow, good for him.
He's a very impressive IMDb. We should all be so lucky.
He's probably the most famous person.
But, based on his IMDb, I bet he would work for Netflix money. you know, like he's a...
I bet you most people work for Netflix.
I just mean like he's a consistent working actor. It's not like they're trying to get Tom Cruise to voice Salem.
Sure.
And I don't mean that to sound derogatory. I just mean I think he would be a great get.
I think it'd just be a nice... It would be a nice move to have him as...
I think so, too. Hopefully we can make that happen. We'll cast a spell at the end of this episode together.
We'll find out the day after this episode airs or wherever.
Truly. An archetypical Sabrina story features Sabrina attempting to use her powers without the knowledge of her aunts because they don't want... They don't want her going around trying to do magic on her own because she's half witch. So they don't know if she's going to turn out to be a witch or if she's just going to turn out to be a normal person. So they don't want her trying to use magic unsupervised, or her magic gets in the way of day to day teenage turmoil, which is kind of typical of an Archie story, particularly in the 60s and 70s. Her powers continue to grow and develop until she gets a semblance of understanding about how they work, and she's eventually able to do things like travel to a magical dimension. Fun fact, the name of this dimension has changed as well. In the comics, it's called the Magic Realm. In the sitcom, it's known as the Other Realm, and this is where the Witch's Council is based. We're going to talk more about that when we go into the show. She's able to interact with magical creatures like dragons. She's able to interact with other witches and do basic magic. Another fun fact, there's even a story where Sabrina had to become a superhero that is directly adapted into season 4, episode 14, episode titled Superhero. Harvey Kinkle becomes a superhero in that with a super lame costume. Google it. Most of Sabrina's normal teen adventures revolve around her one and only love interest, Harvey Kinkle, possibly worst name of all time. They always do wind up as boyfriend and girlfriend after a little while, despite the fact that Harvey never, ever learns that Sabrina is a witch. The first series where a comic book series where he learns that Sabrina is a witch is Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And it doesn't turn out so well for him. So if you're a fan of this character, I would not expect to see very much of him in the Netflix show. In January of 2000, Archie underwent its first reboot. And it went all the way back to issue number one, because that's not a tired gimmick that comic book readers are ever going to get sick of. And Sabrina relaunched, simply known as Sabrina, instead of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. This time it ran 37 issues, and in 2002, with issue 38, it was retitled Sabrina the Teenage Witch again, and it took on a more traditional high school setting. The numbering kept going. It lasted until 2004, with issue 57, when the series adopted a manga style that lasted until September of 2009, so it ultimately ran 104 issues, and that's when it ended completely. The manga style was really influenced by the anime boom that we experienced in the late 90s, early aughts. The style is really cute. I think it was a fun experiment, but ultimately I'm glad that it went away. And when you reflect back on it, it's just an aesthetic choice because the stories stay the same. Sabrina's trying to learn magic. She fights with Salem. Her aunts discover she's using magic. She uses magic around Harvey and has to cover it up. Like, it's very typical. It just looks a little bit more Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time that Sabrina is having her solo witchy adventures, she also guest starred in the main Archie comic series along with the regular Riverdale crew over there, although it isn't until Jughead number 200, published in May of 2010, that she admits to Jughead that she is a witch. So she first appeared in 1962, and it's not until 2010 that she tells any of the main Riverdale crew that she's a witch, and none of them are smart enough to figure it out.
I mean... They're all kind of dumb. Come on, be honest.
Betty's not dumb.
True.
She's like the only one.
True.
I'll go with you on. They're all maybe not dumb. Maybe naive is the word.
There you go.
Want.
That's probably the best way to put it.
This directly leads to a story in Archie 636 where Salem pops up, casts a spell, and gender bends the entire town of Riverdale that nobody realizes, and hilarity ensues. It's a really, really cute issue, and I do encourage listeners to check it out if they are unfamiliar with it. You can get it all over the internet. It is not in my recommended reading, but it's a fun story. Sabrina also crosses over with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, because it was being published by Archie.
Yes, as part of the Sonic Super Special Crossover Chaos. So Sonic appears in Sabrina number 28 when he's brought to Greendale by one of Sabrina's enemies and brainwashed into attacking her. It is really, really difficult for Sabrina to fight back against him because she's revealed to be a giant Sonic fan and she has a collection of his Archie comic books. She watches his show that was airing at the same time, which was The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. But ultimately...
Not as good as the original ABC Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, it was cute though. It was also...
It was too cute.
one of the more anime inspired Sonic adventures. Mm-hmm. Although ultimately in the end, she does use her magic against him, quote unquote, defeats him and her enemy, and they wind up being friends. This story makes no good goddamn sense.
Of course it doesn't.
Again, very cute if you would like to check it out. Sabrina number 28. Then in 2015, Archie Comics underwent a massive reboot led by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. This was billed as being modern, updated, more grounded, and for older readers. Sabrina was introduced in the Jughead spinoff series called Jughead number 9 and was so well received that a one shot was announced for her. Now, that one shot never happened. We never got the solo Sabrina series that we were promised in the main Archie continuity.
In the Mark Waid.
In the in the Mark Waid.
Fiona, I think that's
Staples.
For the better. Because Chilling Adventures is pretty great.
I'm of two minds, you know, because Sabrina's identity is so tied up in being Sabrina the Teenaged Witch. So while I think Chilling Adventures is the greatest Sabrina story ever told, and I think it changed the narrative and flipped the switch on her for better, I really think a teen witch book could do well with that audience and in that continuity.
Well, let me tell you this. Would you have been opposed to Sabrina showing up in the main Archie comic by Mark Waid? And then here's the question. So a girl named Sabrina shows up in that comic book. It is supposed to be an allusion to Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sure.
Don't you think it'd be weird when she starts using magic powers in that world? Like,
No. But I would do the same thing. I would have her be in Greendale. I wouldn't have her be in Riverdale. I wouldn't have her be a main part of the series. But I would like to see a Sabrina title in that same
continuity. Okay.
That's kind of cutesy and kind of teeny and like have her date Harvey.
Even that world, to me, the tone of that world doesn't fit magic for me.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess it doesn't bother me because Sabrina and Archie have run concurrently so long.
Sure.
But you're right, especially with the reboot, it is very grounded.
Uh-huh.
So the next time she crops up is in Afterlife with Archie. Now, Jason, as the only one of us who has actually read Afterlife with Archie, could you really quickly just run down for our students a little bit of what that series is about?
Riverdale is taken over by zombies. Soon, Jughead is eaten and turned into a zombie. The kids have to hide in the... What's Veronica's dad's name?
Hiram Lodge?
The Lodge Mansion. Zombies overrun everywhere. Zombies control Riverdale. Everyone dies. Archie runs away. The end.
Yes.
It is a great book.
So in that series, Sabrina resurrects Hot Dog, who is Jughead's dog. She's always been a close friend with Jughead. Out of her love and affection for him, when Hot Dog dies, she resurrects him. This act winds up starting the zombie apocalypse that Jason alluded to.
Yeah, she causes the zombie apocalypse, which is great.
And in issue number 6, Sabrina becomes the Bride of Cthulhu.
I don't think I've read issue 6 because I've only read the first 5 issues.
Well, there you go.
Because that's what's in the first trade.
And that's sort of the ending of it. She's more of a plot device there than an actual character, to be honest.
And she's not the same character that she is in Chilling Adventures either.
No, and we'll get to that very
soon. That's something that, sorry, I keep interrupting.
No,
I apologize.
That's fine.
That's something that I really appreciate about the new Archie is that right now, all of these books are separate. Like, there are 3 to 4 different versions of Sabrina right now.
Yep.
And there's like 5 different versions of Archie, but yet they're all compelling and they're all good. Like, there's Archie 1941, there's regular Archie.
Archie 1941, by the way, great.
It's great. Yeah, there's Archie in the Mark Waid continuity. There's an Archie that shows up in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, there's Afterlife.
And then there's still old cartoon Archie. Mm-hmm. And they all have books out right now. And they're all great. I think that is a lesson that Marvel and DC could learn.
Not everything has to be a shared universe.
Exactly. Everything doesn't have to be tied into the same continuity every time, guys.
Yeah. Archie also, for a while, like when this was happening, and this is maybe 5 years after the introduction of Kevin, was kind
Kevin
of...
Keeler, you should explain, who's
Kevin
that?
Keller, who was the first LGBT, openly LGBT character in Archie Comics continuity. After that, it came out that Jughead was ace, which I think is fabulous. Because I don't want Jughead to ever have a girlfriend. So I kind of like that. And
His love is hamburgers.
Exactly.
Weird hats.
I love the not weird, period appropriate, which is why it works in 1941.
Weird hat.
It's what mechanics wore.
Weird hat.
I love the adopting of that. So Archie, for a while, was kind of like on the cutting edge. And they were making these really brave, bold choices. Especially you were like, really? Archie's going to do a horror line? And it's great. So Sabrina particularly next crops up in Archie versus Predator. I've never seen a Predator movie. I've read this comic. It's great.
Get to the chopper, Archie.
Archie gets his head ripped off with his spine attached to it.
Because Predators, that's where their trophies, is a skull with a spine.
It's very violent.
By the way, Archie has a history, Archie Comics, of doing crossovers that are bonkers.
I love it.
Archie met the Punisher in the 90s.
Yeah.
It is the most ridiculous comic book of all time, but yet somehow it works.
That's kind of Archie versus Predator. So Betty and Veronica go to Sabrina's house. They're looking for help because the Predators are after them. She tries to cast a spell.
I love this.
When the Predator shows up.
I want to read this.
But it fails, and before she can complete it, she's brutally murdered along with Salem by the Predator.
Does he skull and spine Salem as well?
I can't remember. I just know. I think Salem gets his skull crushed. It's been a while. I read these when they were coming out of the shops.
I'm doing like this sound.
And then what's like the splat sound?
I mean, just a normal blood
splat. When he dies.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're finally going to talk about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the comic, not the show, at the time of the show, at the time of this recording. We haven't seen it. I'm super excited because I love this book. This series is set in the 1960s when Sabrina was first created, which I love, and has a lot of period references to pop culture at the time. For example, and I love to bring this up, Sabrina has a Beatles poster on her wall. She's a Beatles fan. She dances to their music.
Of course.
Which is a detail that I just really love because I love the Beatles.
Because also they thought the Beatles was witchcraft at one point. They burned their records.
That's right. Also, Sabrina and the Spellman... Excuse me, the Spellman family is originally from England. So Sabrina still lives with her aunts, Hilda and Zelda, although her origins are a bit more violent than we're used to. Her mother is still a human. Her father is still a witch. It's debatable whether or not her father transfixed and cast a spell on her mother and whether or not Sabrina's creation was consensual or not. But she is born. Her parents are persecuted for being together. Her mother's killed. Her father's hexed and stuck in a tree. Her English cousin, like off the boat English, Ambrose, also lives with them. He lives in the attic. He's a real creep. Over the course of the series, though, he does go from being a weirdo and a dumb creep to a character who is warning Sabrina not to stray too far from the path of good, not to cross the dangerous lines that she's being faced with. And Ambrose and Salem actually strike up a really nice friendship. There is a little bit of weird sexual overtones between him and Sabrina, but nothing actually happens.
Ambrose and Sabrina, or Salem and Sabrina.
Ambrose and Sabrina. Okay. Her 16th birthday is on the horizon, which means that Sabrina is going to be faced with a choice of accepting her witch identity and powers or to pursue a mortal life. It's very Arwen Evenstar in Lord of the Rings. The only thing that is swaying Sabrina to keep a mortal life is her new boyfriend, Harvey Kinkle. That guy.
Again.
What a jerk. The villain of the series is Madame Satan, who's actually a throwback to a classic comic book character. I love reinventing her for the modern age, who is revealed to be a former lover of her father before he became involved with Sabrina's mother. She is out for her revenge and doesn't mind taking on a child if she gets in her way. Her name pretty much tells you everything that you need to know about the kind of character that she is. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail because I'm pretty sure that this is going to be a pivotal part of the Netflix show. Also because Michelle Gomez is playing this part. But Harvey winds up sacrificed / brutally murdered, which is, I hate Harvey Kinkle. So I found this very gratifying, his brutal, brutal death. In the second volume, which is currently incomplete and will probably never be published or completed, Sabrina's father, Edward Spellman, is released from the tree and he casually possesses the reanimated body of Harvey Kinkle, which leads to some deeply uncomfortable and borderline sexual encounters with his own daughter, Sabrina. It's very eerie. Although Sabrina is warned against the dangers of necromancy by her aunt, she doesn't see anything wrong with continuing her relationship with the boy who she thinks is Harvey. It is also revealed that Sabrina's powers have reached a new level, and nobody really understands where the strength of these powers has suddenly come from. Now, Sabrina has appeared on screen in a number of places, especially in animation, but most important is the live-action TV show, so we're going to get into that.
Can I ask you a quick question real quick?
Sure.
Why is the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina series never going to be completed? Because you said that line. What's the deal? I don't know the deal with that.
So the way Archie collects their trade is the new Image model. It's 5 issues.
Yeah. And I've read the first. I read it on the plane coming back from New York Comic Con last year.
So there's only been 8 issues of Chilling Adventures published. There needs to be 10 to make the second volume, the second trade.
Is the problem the writer or the artist?
Well, the writer is Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa.
He's very busy on Riverdale.
Who used to be an EP on
Supergirl,
who was the showrunner of Riverdale.
He still is the showrunner of Supergirl.
And I think he's the showrunner of Sabrina.
Or at least an EP.
So I think he's never coming back to comics, which, like, good for him. He's fabulous. Also, Robert Hack, the artist, very slow. He's a traditional artist. I love them both, and I think they created some of the most incredible things. Also, the last issue of Sabrina was published 2 years ago.
Oh, was it a cliffhanger?
I mean, it's the middle of an arc.
Yeah.
It's issue 8.
Oh, man, that sucks. I've always...
At this point, honestly, hire anyone else to finish it. We mentioned Alex Segura to finish it.
Fiona
Staples write for the first time. Get Mark Waid to finish it. Like, just give us two more issues. We got a Salem special, which was really cute. Little one-shot.
Give us 2 more issues so we get the second trade and call it over.
Yeah, and then package them into a nice hardcover and, like, call it a day.
And then give Chilling Adventures all over to somebody else.
Or just end it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I hate unfinished comics because it's like, just finish it. Even if it's 2 years later, finish it.
Yeah, but when you go on Amazon and, like, you can pre-order it, but you've been able to pre-order that trade for 2 years.
Yeah.
It is never coming out.
All right, let's talk about the TV show.
Sorry, yes.
I didn't know.
But before we jump right into the TV show, I do want to take this time to talk about another sponsor this week, so take it away.
Hello, friends. Tex Willerman here, and I'm here to talk about things that aren't smart, like letting your friends pick your karaoke song or making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory to hire the right person. Now, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Like a powerful piece of Skynet, powerful matching and technology. Yep, I'm saying ZipRecruiter is like Skynet. It scans thousands of resumes and identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. See, I passively invite people to apply. I just say, hey, if it's something you want to do, you can do it. So you can get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated #1 by employers in the U.S. And I use it quite a bit because this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And I gotta tell you, my entire meatpacking staff that I have in one of my 3 Piggly Wigglies that I own came from ZipRecruiter. So right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory. That's ZipRecruiter.com/geekhistory. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and it has revolutionized my entire business model because otherwise I just went out into the highway and I yelled at people, said, hey, you want a job? ZipRecruiter has saved my voice, and my lovely wife, Judy, thanks ZipRecruiter and you all for it. So, keep having them happy trails and go check out ZipRecruiter, my friends.
Oh, that was very good. Thank you, Tex. Okay, so Jason, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I think you have seen more Sabrina than I ever did. So I just wanted to ask if you have any particular memories of the show or something that you would like to share before we dive into this.
I mean, I don't have a ton of memories about the show, to be honest with you, specific memories, because it's been so long.
That's okay.
And I've never rewatched it. The thing I remember about Sabrina the Teenage Witch is the cameos and the humor and the world. Like, there were so many, like, being able to walk through the closet door to go to the other realm. And I love that Penn Jillette, I believe, was the head of the Warlock Council, which was very great. So I loved him showing up. There were a lot of people that showed up in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Like, what is the talk show host? The terrible Jerry Springer was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Stop it.
But one cameo that a lot of people don't realize, and he's actually hilarious in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, is he plays a lawyer. And I remember this episode. I looked it up online. And I remember this episode. He is a wizard lawyer from the other realm that is there to help. And I don't know what I can't remember what he helps in a Salem episode, but it's Bryan Cranston.
Oh, really?
And he is so funny. I remember him in this part.
I bet someone's put that on YouTube.
Oh, I guarantee you. And just to give you a little taste, Salem is my favorite part. Salem the cat and that puppet. I love that they cut. They would go. Sometimes they would have a puppet that just sat there.
Yeah.
And would look really bad sometimes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they would just use a real cat.
Yeah.
And it like sometimes it wasn't the best job of transitioning between the two. But I brought up this YouTube video called "The Favorite Moments of Salem the Cat."
Uh-huh.
It has 1.2 million views, and I thought
I'll share that on our social media.
I thought maybe we could listen to a little bit of it. If you don't know what Salem the Cat is and the joy of Salem the Cat from the show, I thought, and the voice actor whose name I've already forgotten,
Nick Bakay.
I think we need to enjoy what I think is the best part of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Great.
Here we go. Here is Salem Cat. We may have to watch.
I just don't understand why other kids get to stay home and I have to go on a ski vacation. You were so excited about it.
Oh, that
last
sounds
night.
Like a tough life, Sabrina.
Since then, I mean, just today, Harvey asked me if I wanted to do stuff.
Well, there'll be plenty of stuff left to do when we get back.
Why don't you guys go and I'll stay home with Salem?
Hey, the whole point of a family vacation is so I can get a vacation from the family. Please, I need some downtime.
That was Salem, of course.
Salem, what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're in a chat room again pretending to be a woman, aren't you?
I need the attention.
Well, say goodbye. Harvey's here and you better start acting cattier.
Mean.
Now remember to look your parole officer in the eye.
Right. I don't want to be a cat for the next 75 years.
You'll do fine, and we're all pulling for you.
That helps. How's my breath?
Fresh, but not medicine-y.
You'd better go. You don't want to be late.
Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Nice to see you.
Now that
riveting.
Just to let you know, Salem. This is one of the transit. The clip
Excuse
I just
me.
Played is Melissa Joan Hart was holding the puppet, and he had a collar with a tie on.
Mm.
And then when they cut to the wide shot, because he walked in the closet to go to the other realm, she dropped the real cat, and the cat went inside the door.
Yeah.
So you know a little bit. There you go. So let's talk about the TV show. There's a little taste. Now you've heard the voice of Nick Bakay.
Yes, our hero Nick Bakay. The pilot was originally intended to be a TV movie for Showtime. Came out in 1996.
What?
Yeah, and it was so well received that it evolved into a live-action TV series that debuted on ABC later that year. The style of magic that is popularized in the show is basically Sabrina pointing at something and then it happens, which is her version of the nose wiggle from Bewitched. For example, in the TV movie that became the pilot, she points at an empty cup and then it fills up with milk. The show ran from 1996 to 2003, and I honestly had no idea it lasted that long. Congratulations. The show begins on Sabrina's 16th birthday, where she learns that she is a half-witch on her father's side and she has some powers that go along with it. She moves to Greendale with her aunt and her talking cat Salem and enrolls at Westbridge High. She makes two friends there that continue throughout the series, Jenny Kelly and Valerie Burkhead, and an on-again, off-again love interest, Harvey Kinkle. She does have a couple other boyfriends throughout the series, but Harvey's the most important. Sabrina is also given an enemy, a mean cheerleader named Libby Chesler, who I definitely remember hating as a child.
Do you think Chesler is a pun on the Chesler? Think about it. Is that a bad pun?
I didn't think about it until this very moment.
It seems kind of obvious to me.
Yeah. Did she have big boobies?
I don't remember. I don't honestly know. But
I would doubt it if she's a skinny TV girl.
Look, I just realized, again, like 30 minutes ago, Spellman. So
it probably is. I don't want to live in that world.
All right,
though.
Cool.
Much like the comics, Sabrina has trouble fully controlling her magical powers, and this is the seed for much of the drama that we see in the show, along with her aunts teaching her more about witchcraft. The Witches' Council, Jason's favorite aspect, is an ever-present group of witches that govern all things magical. Here I was going to say, Jason, who led them? But you already told us.
Penn Jillette.
They pop in at key moments to heighten stakes or cause more problems.
And you travel there through the closet.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, they travel through the closet to go to other dimensions in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yep.
They exist entirely in the other realm that we talked about earlier that used to be called the Magic Realm. In later seasons, Sabrina actually graduates from high school, which is a lesson the Vampire Diaries could have taken a lot earlier than they finally did.
I don't think I've seen a single episode of Sabrina post-graduation.
Okay, so I didn't know this either, so let's get into it. Sabrina goes off to Adams College in Boston, not a real college. I love the detail because Boston is pretty close to Salem, Massachusetts, where the witch trials took place. While she's at Adams College, she is finally able to meet her human mother,
who
she's gone her entire life not knowing. However, the Witches' Council had decreed that if Sabrina were ever to meet her mother face to face, her mother would turn into a ball of wax.
What?
This happens in an episode called Ball of Wax, but Sabrina is able to restore her mother to her human form by crying over the ball. Due to a decree, they are never able to meet each other again, except her mother shows up in the finale episode because, of course, Sabrina studies journalism while she's at Adams College.
Journalism.
Becomes a writer for a music magazine and winds up dating a man named Aaron who works in the music industry. The show culminates in their wedding in the final episode.
What?
Sabrina seems to have fully embraced her mortal side. She's working as a mortal. She has a mortal boyfriend who's going to become her husband. This is the life that she has decided she wants to leave and the identity she's going to pursue. But all day at her wedding, she's possessed by the increasing feeling of doubt and leaves Aaron at the altar. Sabrina runs out of the church. Why are they getting married at a church if she's a witch? And Harvey is there, who we haven't seen for like a season and a half, waiting for her on his motorcycle, and they ride off together.
Oh, so they do it like The Graduate, like this, the end of The Graduate.
Yeah, truly, this is the finale of Sabrina.
But the real question is how does Salem get on that motorcycle?
I'm going to say that Harvey has a little wicker basket in the front of it, and that Salem hops in the basket, complete with tiny motorcycle helmet.
Okay, cool. Or he has like a tiny cat sidecar.
Yeah, great. Even better. Following the end of the show, two TV movies were made.
What?
The first, yeah, it's very Stargate.
Oh my God.
The first is called Sabrina Goes to Rome.
Oh my God.
Which pretty much tells you what the main plot's going to be. Fun fact, she takes Salem with her because of reasons.
Well, because we need more Nick Baquet.
Yeah, God bless Nick Baquet.
I'm going to find him on Twitter too.
You know what? I want to, we got to become friends with him.
That is the campaign, Friends with Nick Baquet.
Together, they investigate the secret of this antique locket, and they save Sabrina's aunt, Sophia, and she makes friends with a young British witch. It was so popular, they made a sequel made-for-TV movie called Sabrina Down Under.
Oh, God.
Which tells you exactly what you need to know.
By the way, in my Google search at the beginning of the campaign, hashtag friends with Nick Baquet, I found a headshot or a picture,
promotional
picture, where he is holding the cat that is Salem.
Oh, he looks like a nice dad.
I want to be friends with Nick Baquet.
If anyone knows Nick Baquet,
I would put this.
Shoot him our way.
Go Google Nick Baquet. It's the second image you'll see. It's a purple background. He's holding Salem.
If I were Nick Baquet, I would have that framed in my house.
I would. Yeah, I would put that on my wall.
Totally. Do you think he adopted the Salem cat after?
I hope so.
Okay. So let me tell you about Sabrina Down Under.
Oh, God. I don't know if I want to say it, then know this.
As you might have guessed, it's set in Australia. Sabrina and the weird young British witch that she met in the last movie save a secret colony of merpeople from pollution and a pollution campaign led by evil marine biologists. This is not a joke. And this is where we're going to end our lesson on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
By the way, Nick Baquet is on Twitter at Nick Baquet for the number 4 for real. I'm going to follow him right
now. Is he verified?
No, he's not. I have more followers than he does. But that doesn't matter because he has more talent than I do.
There you go.
And he is a much nicer fella.
Probably. I bet he lives in Burbank.
By the way, he is tweeting. He tweets Salem gifts.
What?
I just found him.
Oh, man. He is officially my favorite person. Please, listeners, go follow him and tell him that we sent you from Geek History Lesson.
Yes, please go follow him at Nick Baquet for real. I think he is a national treasure, and we all need to be his
best
friend.
We should all be so lucky to be friends.
To know Nick Baquet.
All right, why don't we roll into the recommended reading?
Recommended reading is the section of the podcast where Ashley's going to give you recommended readings. If you're interested in more Sabrina, you can find them all at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. Pretty easy, right? And our entire list of everything we've ever recommended for all 231 episodes is all there. You click on it, go to Amazon, you can buy it on Amazon, and a little percentage of that purchase comes back to the Mayan University and helps us keep our poster making campaign for hashtag Nick Baquet please friend us alive.
So I'm going to start with the complete Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is her original solo series.
This is the DVD set of the TV show?
This is her original comic book solo series.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
From the 60s and 70s, this is classic Sabrina. This is where she comes from. This is the important genesis of who this character is. And truly, in the main Archie continuity, there hasn't been a lot of change since then. And I think people should read older comics. So check that out. It's a beautiful collection from Archie Comics.
Especially older Archie comics.
Oh, and the art is so... like, mm-hmm. Dan DiCarlo is just so iconic. My second recommendation is going to be Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Volume 1, because it's the only one you can get.
It's great.
It is so good. It is so creepy. Not for the children. please check that out and then let me know what you think of it. And then my final recommendation is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the complete DVD series, because it's the only place that you can watch it. And I think that's insane. Also, I thought about recommending Afterlife with Archie, but Sabrina is a pretty minor part of it. So I guess I'm going to add that as an also rand. If you like creepy comics, check out Afterlife with Archie.
Hey, super friends, I have to interrupt the podcast real quick to talk about Robin Hood. No, I am not talking about the green-hooded vigilante who saves England and then is also sort of the brother-in-law to Sean Connery. Go watch the movie First Night. No, I am talking about the investing app called Robin Hood that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, option, cryptos, all that commission-free stuff, because they are an app that strives to make financial services work for everyone, for the people, as if the vigilante Robin Hood would say. Now, they are a pretty cool app. They're a nice green app, and they have a simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way, because I don't know if you're like me, investing kind of scares me. And it's kind of confusing, and I don't know what to do. But if I had a hero like Robin Hood, a hero with a green hood and a full quiver and lots of financial, easy-to-do stuff in the app that tells me how to use money and how to invest money and easy-to-understand charts and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, then I would tell you that I would invest more. And that's something that Robin Hood has allowed me to do. Robin Hood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio, and you can sign up at geekhistory.robinhood.com. That's geekhistory.robinhood.com. Use the power of a vigilante slash really easy and clear design app to help you invest and build your portfolio. And now back to the show.
All right, let's roll into the discussion. Jason Inman, I want to ask you something. Do you think witches are antiquated? And do you think that monster stories are antiquated? Do they have a place in our modern society?
Sure. No more so than Dracula or Frankenstein or the Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, they've been done to death. No pun intended.
Ha ha ha.
No, I don't think they're antiquated. They are very old fashioned. I think you have to come up with new takes and new interesting takes on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, like, which is, I think is an interesting twist.
And my next question is, do you think you can tell a Sabrina story without Salem? Because Salem is, and because of the show, such a breakout character.
No. Salem is Slimer to the Ghostbusters.
Interesting.
Salem is... No, I think that show cemented that you need the talking cat. Like, the a talking animal of some type has to be a part of any Sabrina story going forward. But you know what? That's fine. There are plenty of franchises that have been adjusted or affected. I'll tell you what. Here's a perfect example for it. Superman the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Superman had plenty of Fortresses of Solitudes throughout his 50 years of comics before then. None of them looked like Superman the movie, the crystalline fortresses.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since that movie, every Fortress of Solitude looks like a crystalline fortress.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, other mediums can make iconic moves. And I think, yeah, you cannot do a Sabrina. If you do a Sabrina story without Salem, I think you have to explain why he's not there. Or you're telling us the story of maybe how Sabrina first encounters Salem.
Would you be interested in a story about Salem in, like, return to his human form?
No.
So never do it.
No.
Never let Nick Baquet have screen time.
Look, there are certain characters. Nick Baquet's voice is so delicious that in audio form, it's powerful enough to transform us. No, I think that Salem is very similar to the idea of Darth Vader. The minute we learn what he did or see him mm-hmm. as before, it's less interesting.
You said that as well about Frozone's wife, Honey.
Yeah, we should.
Because a lot of people thought we were going to see her.
We should never see her.
Or I guess that's also kind of like Maris.
We should
Fraser.
Never see her. Well, it's like Maris and Fraser, Niall's wife. It's that joke is also taken from Cheers because I believe Norm's wife is Vera. George Wendt played Norm.
Vera, yeah.
Vera, and he'd always, like, she was upstairs sometimes mm-hmm. above at the restaurant above the bar, and you'd yell it. You could hear her voice. but you never saw her. And I think that that's a powerful storytelling tool to never
I mean,
see
really,
this
it started with Jaws, didn't it?
Yeah. No, I think Salem's more interesting. If you ever see human Salem, it should just be a flashback.
Cool.
Because I also think of the idea that I think it's more powerful that Salem never becomes human.
I agree. I would love to tell a story where Salem chose to remain a cat to stay with Sabrina.
Interesting.
But we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our Geek History Lesson Extra about maybe how we would like to see Sabrina integrated into the main Archie story.
Where can they find that?
They can find that at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. That is where we do a whole extra podcast for you. We have a number of other podcasts there, and it helps you support us more directly and, frankly, keep our cauldrons bubbling. Without the Patreon, the Mind University would no longer exist.
That's true. It's a very true fact.
All right, let's go right into the teaching tweet then.
The teaching tweet is where Ashley, Professor Ashley, is going to tell you all about Sabrina in 140 characters or less, because we operate on the original Twitter models. And hopefully she has post-dated this tweet and added in some hashtag, our Nick Bakay love is real. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Probably not. But anyways, here's our tweet.
And you can find this at GHL Podcast.
Yes, I forgot about that. It'll actually be on Twitter.
I share them every Tuesday. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Human and witch, cute and deadly, good and evil. She's my favorite witch in comics. Hashtag Nick Bakay, we love you.
Hashtag Nick Bakay friendship, please.
Yes. I will include a Nick Bakay hashtag for us.
Yeah, I don't know. We said like 7 or 5 to everyone. He's a national treasure.
We love him. We're fans.
Yeah.
All right.
And Melissa Joan Hart is too. Let's just admit that.
Absolutely. But man, that cat puppet is legendary.
By the way, I just checked on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Melissa Joan Hart does follow me. I do not follow her. I'm going to be gracious. I just followed her back because I decided that that's the professional and nice thing
it
to
is
do.
It is the polite thing.
And she is a national treasure as well.
Yes, a very beautiful woman, very talented.
Nick Bakay is a slight national treasure beat above her.
I will allow that.
Yes.
All right. Let's move right into our final section, the honor roll.
Yes, the honor roll is where you can go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave us a review. If you do that, helps us in the iTunes search algorithms. But you know what? You can write anything you want on there. Literally, you could advertise your own podcast in the iTunes review, and we will read it on our podcast. Ashley, who's joining the honor roll this week?
We have two fabulous students joining us. This one by Illuminated Earth says, thoughts on GHL. Y'all slay. Nuff said. G.R. Johnson, a.k.a. Simone Phoenix. I have a follow-up question to this review. I Googled Simone Phoenix. Simone Phoenix, according to the internet, is a drag queen. Are you a drag queen?
Is this the Simone Phoenix, you think?
I hope so.
That's cool.
If you are, please tweet us and let me know. I'm interested in who this Simone Phoenix alter ego person is. You've intrigued me in your review. Congratulations. And joining Illuminated Earth is, hey, it's Char95. Such a fun and smart podcast. To start off, this podcast is amazing. Not only do they go into powers and history, but personalities and relationships. What really makes the character so relatable? The hosts themselves, Jason and Ashley, Ashley's my favorite girl power, hell yeah, bring a lot to the table with their prior knowledge of comic books and pop culture in general. Most of my knowledge of comic books comes from these podcasts, including learning about my favorite hero ever, Black Canary. Yay! These are great for both anyone looking to dip a toe into comics and old-time fans alike. I've been a huge fan for years, and I can't wait for more. Great job. Thank you so much. Hey, it's Char95 and Illuminated Earth. Welcome into the Teacher's Lounge. Please help yourself to a bagel and the coffee.
You get gold stars. You get gold stars.
Be sure you check the food in the fridge, because people like to label it.
Yeah, that's right. Don't touch the grapes. They are the property of our chemistry teacher.
And what is their name?
Mrs. Blasharsky.
Oh, that's cool that we have women in STEM teaching at the Mind University.
That's right.
I'm big on that.
That's right. Don't touch her grapes.
No.
She will kill you.
They also might be...
She'll hex you.
Chemical grapes.
She'll make you drink a potion that'll turn you into a toad or a black cat, as we've
or
seen.
Or a tiny witch. Yep.
So you can listen to this podcast on iTunes. You can download it on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all kinds of places. You can listen to the Mind University. Please do it at all those places. You can follow me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You can follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And we've already mentioned the podcast at GHL Podcast. Ashley, if they would like to suggest future lessons, where can they do so?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a bunch of ways to contact us in all of those places. Please do it through one of the official channels. Yep. If you do it to our personal accounts, they will probably get lost in the fray, and we like to credit as many people in their requests as possible.
They will get lost in the fray.
Well, I'm trying to make us seem a little less like disorganized monsters.
No, we're disorganized. We're very disorganized monsters. Don't forget also to check out the Geek History Lesson Extra on the Patreon, patreon.com/Jawan. And now we're in the last section of the podcast, the hashtag stick around. Ashley,
yeah.
What else can we talk about, Sabrina? Do you have a little hashtag stick around thing that we can talk about?
My hashtag stick around is just going to be really brief, really quick. This episode went a little bit longer.
I think it was a great episode. I think we learned that Melissa Joan Hart is a national treasure. Sabrina the television show is a great television show. And Nick Bacay is unto us like a deity.
Yeah, like
I think so.
I was gonna say like a god.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is our dark feline lord.
Okay, sure. I wonder if he has the puppet. That'd be awesome.
I like it. Oh man, do you think they probably they gotta have given him a puppet?
I bet he had to steal it.
I would have stolen it. Ian McKellen says that you should steal something from every set you work on.
Yeah.
And if good enough for Gandalf, it's good enough for me. Yep. Jason, I'm going to ask, because I know people are going to be a little disappointed that we're not talking about the TV show because this is releasing so close to it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're really hoping to see or excited about or some casting that you're excited about in the Netflix show?
I mean, I don't really know many of the people. I will say, like, I think they made two great choices for her aunts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miranda Otto and
Lucy Davis.
Lucy Davis, who was Etta Candy, are great choices. The girl I thought in the trailer, the actress who's playing Sabrina,
Kiernan Shipka.
Thank you for knowing all these names. I'm terrible with names.
Mad Men.
I thought she was great in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I thought she had a great look, and I think the way she delivered her lines was fantastic. I'm going to say Salem. Salem is my favorite part of Sabrina,
yeah,
and
that's
I really hope Sabrina or Salem, so many S names, is in this show. I will be disappointed if Salem was not in that show.
Well, you know, Salem, Saberhagen, and Sabrina Spellman, both alliterative S names.
Yep.
I also think maybe people forget that Lucy Davis, her big thing before Wonder Woman was The Office. I think people forget that she's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Chilling Adventures
I forgot she was in The Office. I didn't put two and two together until after Wonder Woman.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I don't think most people know that. Even though Chilling Adventures is going to be very dark, you can tell just by the trailer, even if you haven't read the comics. In the comics, her aunts still have some good jokes, so I'm hoping that we get some levity there. I'm actually really excited for Michelle Gomez.
Oh, yeah, Missy.
Yeah.
Who is she?
She's playing Madame Satan. She is the villainess.
Good call. You know Doctor Who got her that job.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. It took me a minute to warm up to her on Doctor Who. And I will maintain I don't love the writing on that character. However,
she's great in her final season.
She is great. She has a fabulous look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see her go full villain because we kind of saw her, not to spoil the Doctor Who, but I guess to do it, we saw her do sort of reverse. She started out very villainy and became good. There's no redemption for Madame Satan. So I'm looking forward to see her go full bad guy.
And she's quite lovely in person. We saw her up. We saw her and saw her up close once at San Diego Comic Con.
Lovely as a human and as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a good choice. I forgot she was in this.
Yeah. I forgot too, honestly, until I had the IMDb open while I was researching this episode.
Is her dad played by anybody of note?
I didn't write it down, but if
it's all good because, you know, that's a very important character for the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
I will pull it up right now and I will tell you.
And so I would imagine, and I'm talking about the real face of him, not the Harvey face of him. Although Harvey's going to be a pretty important part of this as well. So
I don't know if he's credited on IMDb.
If they're smart, they would cast Nick Bacay as her father.
As Edward?
And Salem.
He might be too old.
No, Nick Bacay can handle anything. Nick Bacay can do it.
Does not appear to be credited on IMDb. Now,
right.
To be fair,
no,
Salem is also uncredited. Also, to be fair, the girl playing Sabrina is like the seventh credit down.
That's all because IMDb all works off your star meter.
I know, it's really
ridiculous, but she should be number one.
She should be
the
number
show's
one.
Named for her, for God's sakes.
Richard Coyle, who plays Father Blackwood, who is the priest who drives her family away, is the number one credit, and I don't know who he is.
Yep, it's all good.
So there you go.
All right, cool. That is it for this geek history lesson. I am Jason, witchy woman who loves Nick Bakay Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, will you please close out the podcast?
Class is now dismissed.